pretty clean. The recording started for the session. So the way we're going to do this, my name is Greg Rattray. I'm ICANN's Chief Internet Security Advisor. And this working group kind of proceeds from a staff perspective under my purview as the security person with a security team. However, it's a community working group. Unfortunately, the two co-chairs of the working group, Michael Palage and Christopher Vend, were both unavailable. Timing of this session related to the time in North America is not good. So the way we're going to go through what the work that's been done by this working group at this point is I am going to kick off the session, and we're going to have Andy Welch, who's really been the driver in terms of the ICANN staff. Andy's with the KPMG team that supports ICANN in putting this program together, both the work that was done over the summer and was released in the fall as part of Draft Applicant Guidebook 3, the concept paper for a high security zone verification program, as well as supporting Michael and Christoph in the work that's been done in the working group. So with that, I need to make sure I cover a few administrative things. First, I very much want to welcome everybody here in Nairobi. We've got the biggest room. We have the full conference room. There's probably 30 people in this room total. We're getting quite an echo as we do this. But I also want to welcome those from all the remote sites in there who have dialed in to participate. Yuri Ito, to my left, will also be helping orchestrate this, and I will actually have to depart early at about 3 o'clock during the session, and Yuri will help work with Craig Schwartz, who's running the Adobe Connect remote participation room. So it's very much going to be a tag team effort. Administratively, I need to remind participants that the call in the Adobe chat room will be recorded and posted to the high security TLD information page in the next 24 hours. Regarding Adobe, I want to please remind folks to use the click on the icon that allows you to raise your hands. That will allow raise your hand in the Adobe Connect chat room. That allows Craig to identify who wants to make a comment, as well as the order in which hands were raised. And I do want to remind everybody, there is a work in progress paper on this working group's efforts published on the ICANN public comment forum, so you can look at that and make public comment in addition to obviously participating in this meeting this afternoon. I'll make sure I covered the full gamut of administrative issues. And that public comment period is open until 8 April. So with that, again, I'll kick off this session. What is the HSTLD program? And, listed here on the slide, I'll just read the goal statement. The goal of the High Security Zone Top-Level Domain Advisory Group is to bring together community representatives to evaluate the viability of a voluntary program supporting control standards and incentives that could potentially be adopted to provide an enhanced level of trust and security over the baseline registration authority controls. So there is the kind of purpose statement for the group. Where it came from, Andy's going to go over the kind of origins of the group a little bit in a little bit of depth, but this is one of the efforts supporting closing out the overarching issues related to the new GTLD effort, though this group in particular is not necessarily limiting the development of the high security TLD program solely to the new GTLD. So I just wanted to provide some of that context. It is designed to provide a structured approach to improve internet community trust and to help improve the overall security of domains registered within the participating TLDs. Again, at this point, it's envisioned that it's a generic program that could be applied by the range of TLD types that currently and in the future will exist. So with that, I'd like to turn the presentation again over to Andy Welch, who's been the principal staffer behind this effort, and he'll lead us through the slides. Andy, while there are a number of slides, my goal would be that you get that done within 30 to 40 minutes to allow the remainder, the other half of the session, to be a vigorous discussion with the people both here in Nairobi and remotely. Andy, are you ready to go?
I am, Greg. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. And welcome, everybody. Thanks once again to all the people at ICANN, to the HSTLD Advisory Group, and to the co-chairs, both Mike and Christoph, for helping us forward. So I'm going to dig in a little bit and talk about, after the goal statement, so what's the problem that the HSTLD program is really, at a broad sense, attempting to tackle. Craig, if you could just go to the next slide, we'll talk a little bit about the problem statement. And similar to the goal statement, the high security TLD group has come up with a problem statement. It essentially says certain individuals and organizations have sought to exploit vulnerabilities within the DNS technology and the business practices of certain registration authorities for inappropriate and or illegal purposes. The exploitation of these vulnerabilities has threatened the security and stability of the Internet and negatively impacted the trust users have when using the Internet. The next portion of this slide and the next slide really go into the interested parties, but this program really is all about trying to deal or provide one component of a suite of solutions to help deal with that problem. Obviously acknowledging that this program can't solve the program entirely, but it is a component of items that really is focused on trying to help out with that problem. So there's several interested parties. Registrants would like to be sure that the name they register doesn't get hijacked through registrar or registry or their own account compromise. That includes DNS, who is, and so forth. Registrars would like to be able to give reasonable guarantees to registrants that, number one, won't happen because they have good controls in place. So in order to do so, they require both registrant and registry cooperation. That's a real key point, and you'll see sort of throughout the slides, one of the things that the HSTLD program does try to do is, at least now in concept, we're working on developing a control structure that works at both registry and registrant levels and sort of tries to get that cooperation written down. Registries would also like, number one, and this requires the cooperation of registrant and registrar. So you see we're trying to build a little chain here with the problem statement. And finally, end users would like to know that when they type in a given domain name or navigate from a bookmark, that they go to the right domain and that the DNS, et cetera, has not been hijacked. And they'd also like to understand that a domain name registered with a particular TLD is subject to registration standards, policies, and procedures that are aimed at reducing malicious conduct by such registrants. So that gives the package of where we are as a group in our draft development of problem statement. So that being said, who might volunteer for this program? And when we talk about who might volunteer, we're not talking about who might volunteer to be part of the advisory group. With this one, we're talking about who might volunteer to consume some of the material, the control material, and perhaps certification or report card material. We'll talk about that in just a minute. That this one environment's been established. Or the operators advertise. Based on community standards. So the second one's not quite as intuitive. It's really all about building a model or providing a model that can be consumed by registry or TLD operators for controls, regardless of whether or not they want to advertise it through the program or not. So as Craig mentioned a few minutes ago, We're going to talk just a second about the origins of the HSTL Advisory Group, really sort of focusing on security and controls is part of the ICANN new GTLD process, as Greg had mentioned a minute ago. The interesting thing is that this program, as he had also mentioned, is not totally focused on just the new GTLDs. In fact, we're trying in all of our drafts and literature to really make it clear that any TLD, new or existing, could make use of the output of the program. In Applicant Guidebook 2 and in comments during and after the Sydney meeting, financial services community and numerous ICANN ESAC reports highlighted the desire for greater security controls. So this really sort of initiated a bit of a concept focus and coming up with sort of ideas and concept that we might take on, we as sort of ICANN might take on to deal with that highlight. In Applicant Guidebook 3, there was initial concept paper published that was titled A Model for High Security Zone Verification Program, and that was really the first concept. From that, in November of last year, a call for volunteers to serve on an advisory group to continuing the developing initial concept went out, and that was really the genesis of the High Security TLD Advisory Group. And today we've gathered volunteers. We can go to the next slide. To continue to develop or improve upon concepts introduced in the original concept paper, to gather community input and feedback on the proposed program, to identify issues with the program, to propose potential solutions to those issues as they're raised, and then finally to create a recommendation paper, ultimately, that is improved upon from the original concept. So that's sort of the high-level path that we're focused on.
Andy, I'm sorry. Andy, it's Greg. I'm trying to follow. I want to make sure I know which slide you're on. Andy, could you just announce? Okay, members. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got you.
I'm on slide 8. I'll announce as we move through going forward. Members of the advisory group include a lot of different interested parties, registries, registrars, internet security companies, financial institutions, law enforcement, legal professionals, knowledgeable individuals, and ICANN staff. And as Greg had mentioned a minute ago, we've got two co-chairs, Michael Pelage and Christophe Revere. They are both active members of the group and help us guide the group in our weekly meetings and in publishing material and so forth. Can we move to slide 9, Craig? Okay. So all of that being said, what are sort of the key components that are being discussed right now with the HSTLD Advisory Group? There are really three key components at the moment that are being focused on. That's not to say that we're limited to these three. That's just sort of what we're focusing on at the moment. There's an effort to look at control standards. There's an effort beginning to materialize to think about how we will demonstrate or how the TLDs will demonstrate the control standards. And then finally, how the control standards would be published. The publication of which TLDs are participating and what exactly is going on with those TLDs from a publication perspective. So the control standards are, we moved on to slide 10. The control standards are really defined through principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative control. They're established through drafting efforts with the HSTLD Advisory Group, and they're available for community review and comment. We actually have a process, it's a draft process in and of itself, that we're putting together in the advisory group to release what we're calling snapshot updates. And the first one is actually available for public comment now. It's when you go to the public comment site off of ICANN's link and click on the HSTLD portion of public comments, it's our first initial snapshot release. And we anticipate coming out with additional snapshot releases as we develop content. The demonstration of controls, there's really sort of two concepts that are out there in draft now. The original concept paper had a concept of certification seal type of approach, so a participating TLD would be able to get some level of seal that they'd be able to advertise that would qualify them as a high security TLD. The advisory group itself came up with another concept. It's called the report card concept, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but that's sort of the most recent development within the advisory group. So the control standards really are the foundation to the program. The current draft of control standards actually includes, as I mentioned before, controls for registry, registrar, and registrant. The group is actually drafting the controls right now. That's really sort of the just in-flight status of where we are with that effort. We have four principles that we're working off of. Three of the principles were introduced in the concept paper, and the fourth principle is a newer principle that was just introduced through the efforts of the advisory group. The principles really form the foundation of the HSTLD's efforts, and I'll quickly read principle number one. The principle is that the registry maintains effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the security, availability, and confidentiality of systems and information assets supporting critical registry, IT, and business operations are maintained by performing the following. So the following are defining and communicating performance objectives, policies, and standards for system and information asset security, availability, confidentiality, and privacy. Utilizing procedures, people, software, data, and infrastructure to achieve defined objectives in accordance with established policies and standards. And monitoring the system and information assets and taking action to achieve compliance with defined objectives, policies, and standards. That's a long-winded principle. It does cover a lot of ground, and it really forms the foundation of principle number one. Craig, can we move on to slide 12? Principle number two is the registry maintains effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the processing of core registry functions are authorized, accurate, complete, and performed in a timely manner in accordance with established policies and standards. The identity of participating entities is established and authenticated. So that kind of breaks down specific components of controls within the registry again. Principle number three is that the registry shall maintain effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the processing of core registrar functions by its registrars are authorized, accurate, complete, and performed in a timely manner in accordance with established policies and standards. So principle three kind of moves from that registry level and then down to the registrar level. So as I was talking about earlier, you can kind of see that we're building a little chain of controls here with the current draft. If you move on to slide 13, talk very quickly about principle four. This is our newest principle, and it's the last link in the chain, if you will, and it's about registrants. So registrants in the high security zone are expected to maintain current and accurate information and to commit to refrain from activities designed to confuse or mislead the Internet-using public. So work continues on the evaluation and development of the principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative controls, and this really is the sort of stuff that we're really focusing on as a group right now and will be for the coming weeks. We move on to slide 14. The next thing that we're thinking about is the demonstration of controls. This is very important. So once the controls are established and presumably a TLD that would like to participate begins to actually use the controls and implement them in their environment, we need to provide a basis for them to participate and to prove that they're participating. There are really two draft models that are out there now. One of them is the certification seal, and one of them is a self-assessment report card. Each model has some advantages and disadvantages, and one of the things that we're talking about right now as a group is that the models aren't mutually exclusive. You can envision perhaps a third model where we do a report card perhaps first and a seal as a component of continued development, although that's not currently listed as a third option yet. It's something that has been discussed. We move to slide 15. Correct? Thanks. So certification. certification, what is it? It's defined within the original concept paper. Within the original concept paper, it's defined as verification. It establishes the controls necessary to achieve certification. So a component of certification itself is sort of saying, what precisely does an entity have to do to become certified? What controls does it have to comply with? It also requires that there are approved assessors to measure that the certification controls are in place, and to provide a control assessment report to whatever entity grants the seal. So that's an interesting bullet. We sort of envisioned two separate entities and three actors in total. So one actor would be the TLD that's seeking to get the high security seal. The other actor would be the approved assessors that are measuring the controls at the TLD. And then the third actor is an entity that would grant the seal to the first actor, to the TLD. The seal would be published for community advertisement and review. And per the concept paper, regular reassessment of controls by an approved assessor would be necessary to continue to maintain the seal. All of that is sort of detailed in the concept paper for those that are interested. So page 16, we get into this new concept of report cards. As I mentioned, we recently introduced the report card option as a group. With this option, TLD registry operators would self-assess the implementation of HSTLD control standards. And they would do so on a report card that is essentially a matrix of HSTLD control standards against the participating TLD registry operators. And for each TLD operator, each individual control is graded, if you will, as you might view on a report card. We move on to slide 17. This talks about the initial draft report card grading system. We'd envision sort of a, and there are five possible grades. One grade is the white blank box grade. Registry operator provides no data, so of course it's blank. A yellow shaded box would be a registry operator has self-certified that they've got a control in place, so that's they're attesting themselves that the control is in place. And then there's a green box, and the green box is either half or all full. For the half full, a third party, not the TLD, has verified registry's compliance with a specified control element at a point in time. And then a full green box is that a third party has verified the registry's compliance with a control element over a period of time. So the control has been observed to be operating over a period, which is a little bit more assurance than just looking at it one time. And then finally, the bad one, the red shaded box, would be if a registry is found to be in non-compliance with a control that was previously reported as yellow or green. The real sort of draft thought there is that potentially a violation of a registry agreement may have compliance implications. That, you know, that's still being developed. It's up on our wiki site, and you can see all of these report card options up there. And again, we're still sort of working through that and how that might mechanically work. Slide 18. So the last piece is sort of how do we publish the participating TLDs? So part of the challenge is that if a TLD is making use of the controls and has them in their environment and operating, we need to provide a method for public advertisement of the assertion of control so the public can know that the TLD has the controls in place and what controls are in place and what their status is. This is how the value is established, through community understanding and acknowledgement of participating TLDs. In general, publication could occur on individual sites and systems within a participating TLD, so you could envision that a high-security TLD would enable sites within that TLD to publish that they were indeed a high-security TLD and provide either the seal or the report card or whatever other mechanism we develop. Some of the thoughts we've discussed is that it could be integrated into a centralized dashboard. You could envision that some group would have a centralized dashboard of all of these participating TLDs so that consumers could go to the dashboard and really see all of them in one place. And authenticity of the certification or report card could be validated using a centralized system of record. It's important to really provide an independent or an entity independent of the TLD itself to validate that the certification or the report card was indeed valid so that they couldn't be spoofed or couldn't easily be spoofed or just copied and pasted onto anybody's website. Using a system of record, we can sort of get around that risk. We move on to 19. So we're coming up on about a half hour. Greg, I think I've hit the time pretty well. I just tried to guide us through as quickly as possible. This last slide here, we talk about next steps for the HSTLD program. So today, obviously, we're for the discussion of the concept paper and the development snapshot. For the group, we're continuing to evaluate and develop the principles, objectives, and criteria. We're seeking to obtain feedback on the report card and certification models and all of the other draft material that are part of the artifacts that we're creating. And we're trying to identify additional program components, assess their requirements, marketing and awareness, and so forth. And finally, we're hoping to contribute an HSTLD option paper to the next version of the draft applicant guidebook. For those that are interested in much more detail than I've given in this very, very, very brief brief, we've also included sort of our HSTLD main page. You can see the link down there at the bottom of our presentation. Off of this page, you can get all of our weekly meeting recordings. You can get the latest materials that we release. And you can get to our wiki page where we're actually doing just-in-time development, so you can see all of our material as the group posts it for review and comment and works through the program. So with that, I move to page 20. Thank you very much, and I'm going to open up for questions.
So thank you very much, Andy. You hit the time exactly, and that was well done, and clearly heard here in Nairobi. So we're in some ways going to kind of have to do this on the fly. This is the first meeting where remote participation has been an essential element of how ICANN has been doing its work. So again, to my left, I have Yuri Ito. She's working with Craig in the Adobe Connect room. Craig, if this works from your perspective, just go back and forth if there's a large number of people queued up both here and in the Adobe Connect room. So if I could take hands from people here, I've got one already, I got two. It would be useful, actually, if you think you're going to have a question. Obviously, you can come up with one at a later date. But how many questions do we have burning in the room right now? So we got just two here. Craig, do you have hands up in the Adobe Connect room?
Yes, so far we have one, Rick Wilhelm.
Okay, so why don't we go first with Lee here, and then we'll go to you, Craig, and then back here.
Lee Williams with the Financial Services Roundtable. Andy, Craig, Yuri, everyone. We from the financial services industry very much appreciate all of the energy that's gone into this initiative. I think we've made enormous strides over the course of this work. We still have, I think, just one concern, which may not belong in the working group at the implementation stage. It's probably more a policy question, and that's in the inclusion of voluntary as part of the charter. We still think that at least for financial services, the activities are sensitive enough that some of these requirements should be mandatory. We'll work that in other fora. We'll work that in the policy veins for, sorry?
Can you speak slow? We have a comment.
Sorry. We'll work that in other fora, including the policy threads at ICANN. We'll work it with regulators, and ultimately some of it may have to be worked in the marketplace where we press one another to adopt as high a security standard as possible. One comment, I think, as we look at the demonstration issues, there are two models that I think we might look to somewhat inform our choices of report card or certification. And I don't know that one is better or worse than the other, but some others have begun that work. One is we sponsor a program called the Shared Assessments Program, which works on a report card model. Companies, about 70 now, do a self-assertion, and then they have an independent check of that assertion. which at the end of the day checks each element but stops short of having a binary approval or disapproval. So we get detail that gets checked, but nobody is saying you are or aren't secure. One model. Another model is adopted by the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, the 21 countries that have a Pacific shoreline. In security and privacy, they're too looking at something that very closely models standards, controls, and a published list. They too have first a self-assessment and an assertion, and then a check by an independent authority, and then ultimately publish a list of those now who have met a threshold. So they do have ultimately an approval process and a binary judgment on whether people are or aren't respecting the APEC privacy standard, which is actually an APEC privacy and security standard. So through our involvement in the working group, we'll make sure that we get whatever lessons we can out of those two models. And again, I'd like to thank everyone for all that they invest in making this initiative a success.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you for BITS's continuing participation in the effort. Craig, over to you, and I think Rick Wilhelm was the name I heard wanting to make a comment from the remote participation.
Sure. Thanks, Greg. I don't know if this is one or two, but as far as the assessment, has there been thought given to just leveraging out-of-the-box existing standards for things like PCI in order to get it easier to get the program off the ground? And on a related front, perhaps a complementary question is that as we talk about assessors, what sort of work has been done in describing and identifying the criteria by which assessors themselves will be certified?
So I'm going to take a quick one, and then, Annie, I'm going to turn it over to you. But certainly mapping, you know, existing efforts that would be applicable to this sort of control regime, and then, you know, in implementation, thinking about how to utilize those existing efforts is part of the overall game plan. And, again, Andy, if you want to amplify on that, that's good, as well as on the issue of the selection of assessors and certifying the assessors. So, Andy Welch, over to you.
Thanks, Greg. So, Rick, excellent question. First, on the existing models, one of the things I would encourage you and everyone to do is take a look at the HS and actually see the controls that we are developing as we're developing them. You'll notice that as the draft is moving, we're basing the draft on right now we've got some ISO IEC 27000. Some stuff from the applicant guide, and the